Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester, and I'm on Twitter, at BobbyFantasyPro. And we've got a guest today, it's Justin Mason. You know him from all around the industry. He runs the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational, and he's on Twitter, at Justin Mason, FWFB. Justin, thank you for taking the time to come on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to get invited.
So Justin, you write at Fantasy Benefits, FanGraphs, Fantasy Alarm. How do you do all this stuff, man?
Well, I'd like to say that it is partially lack of sleep and partially my loving and trolling wife, for those who follow her on Twitter, who really helps me and allows me to kind of do a lot of different things. But it is largely just lack of sleep.
Yeah.
But I think I have had 6 hours of sleep this week so far in total. But, you know, you got to hustle. Matthew Berry used to make the joke, or probably still does make the joke all the time, about never hustle. But I think the people who are successful, like him, like you, like me, in the industry, hustle and do as much as we can.
You know, I've never worked anywhere close to as hard as I did when I started in the fantasy industry, because you have to if you want to keep going. You know, that's what it takes. And there's a lot of people who want to be in our shoes, and we're really lucky to be in it. I can't believe we get to sit here and do a fantasy baseball mock draft and get paid for it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a rough life, but I don't think people realize the amount of work that goes into it to get to that point where you're actually getting paid. I mean, I know for me, it took me a long time before I was making near what I thought I was worth.
Yeah. So, Justin, I'm really glad you're putting on the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational. I'm actually monitoring my draft right now because my pick is coming up. How do you like your team so far?
My team is, I likened it on Twitter to like watching a car crash happen and not knowing what to do next.
You know, with 15 teams and all the experts in the industry not caring about ADP, it's been kind of rough. It's a challenge.
I'm one of those people, I like high level of competition. It's one of the reasons I do leagues like this. It's one of the reasons I love doing Tout Wars. It's like, I want to play against the best. And so I stacked my league unnecessarily. So, and I'm really paying for it.
Well, if you win it, you'll feel really good about yourself.
Oh, no, I'll feel great, but it's been extremely frustrating, and I missed out on a couple starting pitcher runs, so I'm kind of doing an old-school hitters-first approach, which will be interesting.
So, Justin, I started the draft over here. It's starting in 3 seconds, and you actually have the second pick, so I'll explain the roster settings after you tell us who you're picking now that Mike Trout's gone.
Well, I think it's easily Mookie Betts. Like, I don't understand the idea that anybody would take anybody else other than Mookie Betts. I think anything else is kind of trying just a bit too hard.
Agree. Yeah, it's Trout, Betts, and then after that, I mean, you could make a case for 6 or 7 guys at the number 3 spot. I've got pick number 5 here. Jose Ramirez and Max Scherzer are off the board. And I'll get to my pick in just a second, but I wanted to add on to what you were saying about the pitcher runs. I got Chris Sale, and I was planning on just waiting for Tyler Glasnow, Josh James, Yu Darvish. And we find out today that Josh James strained his quad. He is not in the competition for the rotation anymore. And anyone who listens to this show is letting out like a big gasp because they know Josh James is my boy. I was going to draft him in every league. And I'm still going to draft and stash him at the end of drafts because I think he starts in the minors. He gets up to the major leagues once Wade Miley, they see that he's just a turd, or Framber Valdez doesn't work out. Josh James belongs in the rotation, but now it's probably going to be a month before it happens.
Yeah, I think if anything, this just makes him a little bit more appropriately valued in terms of where he'll be going because he's going to plummet. And so now you're going to get a steal in Josh James. So don't run away completely. Just kind of wait to the last few rounds of your draft.
All right. So with the number 5 pick, I'm going to go with JD Martinez. So you guys have seen me write about the Marmol strategy. If you haven't, what it is, it's this strategy of I'm going to completely punt wins and strikeouts. And so in order to do that, I need to wait to get my first pitcher until round 10 or 11, where I'm going to grab probably Josh Hader or one of the elite closers. And because of that, my first 10 picks are all going to be hitters. My offense is going to be stacked. I plan on finishing the top 2 or 3 in all 5 hitting categories, first or second in ERA and wins, and then first or second in saves as well. So if this is a head-to-head league, I've got 8 categories completely dominated. And with today's mock draft, I'm going to show you how the Marmol strategy actually looks applied. So if this were a normal draft, I'd be looking at Justin Verlander here in the second round. Now, instead, I've got Giancarlo Stanton, Paul Goldschmidt, Charlie Blackmon that I'm considering. Maybe I could reach up and get my boy Blake Snell if this was a different draft, or Whit Merrifield. Maybe he'll be there for me the next pick, probably not. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and grab the power now with Giancarlo Stanton. It's hard to get 40 homers, maybe 60 in any spot in the draft, so I'm going to grab it now while I can.
I like that pick. Whit Merrifield will definitely not be there for you, because I'll be probably taking him in the third round, and I'm not going to punt starting pitching. That is not how I roll most times. So I'm going to take Justin Verlander here, who I have is my number four starting pitcher this year after the big three.
There you go. Okay, so you've got the big three being DeGrom is number three.
DeGrom's number two for me.
Number two, okay. Over Chris Sale because of the durability?
Yeah, National League, the concerns kind of about the way Chris Sale finished. I think you're kind of splitting hairs either way. I mean, they're all studs, and I have no problem if people want to take different guys above other ones. But for me, I have him. Whit Merrifield, I am going to take right here in the third round, mainly because I think he is pretty much Trey Turner. So, like, I don't understand why he's dropping.
Yeah, there's really not much of a difference. Probably a better batting average for Whit Merrifield.
Yeah, if anything, he's probably a safer version of Trey Turner.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I don't know if he's got as much upside. Like, I could see Trey Turner stealing 70 bases, maybe 60. Whit Merrifield's probably capped at that 40, 45 mark, which is great. But yeah, he's an absolute steal there at the beginning of the third round. And his ADP is, what is it, early fourth round? He's someone that I want in many leagues if I can afford it, and he also qualifies at second base, so that's tremendous.
Dusty Wagner took him in the first round of TGFBI.
Did he really?
Dusty is a very, very smart, sharp player. He's done well in the main event, NFBC main event. Like, he and I, you know what, I applaud it. It's ballsy, and he got a lot of heat for it, but I have no problem with it.
He probably could have got him in the second, but you never know in the industry drafts, right? So you got to go get your guy. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if he returns first round value. With that said, I probably would have gone with Ronald Acuna at that spot, assuming he was still available, because I think that he's going to also steal 30 bases with, you know, 35 homers or whatever.
Yeah, I think Acuna was gone because it was pick 15. So okay. he had the wheel pick. So he wasn't going to get him in the third round.
Merrifield at 15 is not that big of a stretch, in my opinion.
It's really not, because he's not going to get it in the third round. So, I mean, he could have taken him at 16 to make it a second round pick, but that's just semantics.
So I'm going with a power speed guy. I wanted Whit Merrifield, but Starling Marte is virtually the same. He's going to steal 35 bases, hit about 20 homers, solid batting averages, runs and RBIs, of course. But that means I have three outfielders already. This is very, very much unlike the drafts that I typically do. With that said, first couple rounds, you take the value, you figure out the rest later. I was planning on getting Whit Merrifield. That was not in the cards. So now I'm looking at Raul Alberto Mondesi. He's projected for 48 steals. You can see on my screen here if you're watching on YouTube. Our consensus projections, that takes like six or seven projection sources, mashes them together, averages 48 steals in those, 20 homers, 80 RBIs, 70 runs. So I'm looking at him. You can compare him to another shortstop on the board, Carlos Correa, who's virtually the same at the other categories, maybe a little bit better in the other four, but stolen bases, he's 43 behind. So I'd much rather have Mondesi. He's going to hurt your batting average a little bit. I also like Cody Bellinger, but I really need to start getting some middle infielders before it's too late. So let me just look at the board one last time to make sure I'm not missing out on anybody that I love, since it's kind of harder to think on the fly while you're doing these, you know, doing these podcasts and talking about your picks. And I'm happy with Mondesi. So I'm going to go ahead and grab him, slot him in at shortstop. And you can see here on Draft Wizard, if you're watching, that it penciled him in at second. I'm just going to click this drop-down button and move him to my shortstop, because there's a couple second basemen I like in the, you know, seventh or eighth round that I'll probably be grabbing and plugging in there.
Now I've got to figure out where I'm going to go with this. So since I'm not punting starting pitching, I'm going to kind of just go take a look. I don't think I'm going to have many or if any shares of Walker Buehler.
Really? I love him.
This year. I love him. I love him from a skills standpoint, from a talent standpoint.
Okay.
I just don't have any innings he's actually going to get with the Dodgers. I'm going to take him here because I've already got Verlander, and I know Verlander's going to give me a ton of innings. I just worry that the Dodgers have not had a pitcher go, I think, above 160 innings, 161 innings, since like 2015.
You know, Walker Buehler was a hoss in the second half. If there's going to be an exception, I think it would be Buehler. I wouldn't be shocked if he reaches 200, but
they got to save him for the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a little bit risky there in the you know, early fourth round. But if you get him to drop down to almost the fifth round is where you got him, I think that's a complete steal.
Oh, speaking about a complete steal, I know a lot of people down on Joey Votto this year, but man, this guy has been just a stud his entire career. I know the power was down last year. I think he's one of those guys that can pretty easily turn it on whenever he wants and just didn't last year. And so I taking Joey Votto in the fifth round is always a nice play for me.
Do you think the Reds might have the best lineup in the National League?
I don't know about the best lineup, because I think Milwaukee's got a pretty darn good one.
You're right, yes. Well, they've got like seven outfielders that they're just, you know, shoving him to second and third base.
And I mean, the Braves have a pretty nice one too, but I think it's top five easy.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think Votto's going to put up a ton of RBIs and runs in that lineup. And we saw him have an offseason once before, and we thought, ah, this might be the end of Joey Votto. He's going downhill from here. And then he rattled off two straight seasons with what? 320 batting average, 25 homers. So I think he'll be just fine. That's a nice pick in the fifth round when we were talking about him as a borderline first rounder this time last year. All right, I'm going to go back to my favorite screen here, Pick Predictor, and it tells me the likelihood that a player is still going to be on the board. This is a rough spot for me in drafts, Justin, because there's a lot of guys that I like in the next grouping of 20, but at this point, it's like I don't really see a ton of value. I guess these players might be a little bit better, but otherwise, I would probably reach. I'm not exactly sure what I want to do since I'm not taking a pitcher. Otherwise, I'd grab Patrick Corbin or Zach Greinke here. I don't like going relief pitcher this early. JT Realmuto is still on the board, and I don't want to play games with catcher. I'm just going to go ahead and grab him now, and hopefully Nelson Cruz is still there for me on the way back, since I believe we're using standard ESPN settings. In standard ESPN settings, you get two utility spots. You've only got three outfield spots, no corner infield, no middle infield. So I don't mind reaching up and getting Nelson Cruz. He is still there. I'm going to talk about some of the other options I considered. Matt Carpenter, since I need a second baseman, but there's a couple other second basemen I like quite a bit. Yasiel Puig, Eddie Rosario are great picks here. Gene Segura, I don't mind so much. This is a good, you know, grouping of players here where I feel like I'm not really reaching too much. Daniel Murphy is another second baseman I'd love to have. Now, those guys aren't going to be there, but I will have my pick of Robinson Cano or Rougned Odor, Jonathan Villar. Plenty of picks there available to me. So I'm going to go ahead and grab the elite power. Nelson Cruz, batting average not going to hurt me either. He's consensus projections 109 RBIs. Sign me up. I'll take it.
I love him this year. I love him every year, and I feel like he's constantly overlooked because of his age. I get people shying away from older players, but I mean, this just feels like David Ortiz at the end of his career, where people just kept getting steals every year because people were like, well, he's DH only, and he's so old, and just, it's, guys produce, and until they don't produce, you gotta believe that they're gonna keep it up, especially when they have elite skill sets.
Justin, I've got to tell you, when I'm doing these Draft Wizard drafts, I'm used to just doing it by myself, right? And so when I make my pick and I see the guys that are still available, those are the guys that are available to me at my pick. Now, it's only been two picks since I picked, and I saw Matt Carpenter still there, and I was like, oh, man, I can't believe I get him. But it looks like I've still got, I don't know, 15 picks. So who are you grabbing with your next two?
Ooh, this is hard. I'm looking, and there's so many guys I really, really like. I think I'm going to – it's a 12-team league, so you really want some talent, especially at the closer position, and I'm take Blake Treinen. A lot of people think it's a little early for closer. I like having an elite guy, and so Treinen for me, he's the skill set is just so elite. I'm not worried about him losing his job with how shaky a lot of bullpen situations are nowadays. I don't want to mess around with some of the mid and lower tier guys. And luckily enough, just a number of guys making it back to me. So I'm going to kind of take a look at my team. What am I missing? What do I need to add?
Let me jump in really quick and talk about Treinen because, you know, you look at his elite ratios, and I mean elite, 0.78 ERA. There's no 1.7, not 2.7, 0.78 ERA, 0.83 whip, and he did it in 80 innings. So I posed the question on Twitter, what do you guys think, just based on your instinct, who helps you more with the ratios? Is it Max Scherzer or Blake Treinen? And a ton of people came out and said Max Scherzer. It's actually really, really close. I've got an article coming out where I break down the math and explain it. But yeah, Treinen, with those 80 innings and that good of an ERA, helps you an absolute ton. Now, granted, I don't know if he's going to repeat that, but you know, if he gets it in the 1.5 area, that's incredible. We're talking about him in the seventh round here. I don't have a problem with that at all. Probably 100 Ks too.
Oh, and I'm going to take Yasiel Puig. This is
Yeah.
a pick that, can obviously backfire, and I think he's getting a little bit too much helium right now. But still in the seventh round, it just feels like it feels nice, and I really love him in Great America Ballpark.
So what I'm going to do here is I want to look at strengths and weaknesses. This is basically essentially going to tell me, where my team is strong. Right now I'm dominating runs, homers, RBI, stolen bases, of course. I haven't done anything in the pitching department, so that would make sense. But what I am really looking at is this batting average line. I don't want it to go below about 274. I want to finish first, second, or third in batting average. And if I'm shooting for that, 274 is the mark. I can always pick up batting average guys later, like Matt Kemp, Miguel Cabrera, but it's a little bit harder. You kind of have to reach if you want to play that game. So I want to bring it up. Right now it's at 277. I need a second baseman. I already talked about that. Daniel Murphy is still somehow on the board for me. So that's who I'm going to pick here. Now let me see who I'm hoping for with my next pick. That way we can build up a little bit of suspension to see if he drops to me. A couple other guys I love, Eddie Rosario. Jean Segura is still there, man. Oh, I already got my shortstop, though. I kept forgetting, no middle infield here. Justin Upton, lots of power. AJ Pollock, a speed power guy. Josh Donaldson, I wouldn't mind so much at this stage, but I feel like I can wait at third baseman and grab a couple other options here. So let's see. I want Daniel Murphy right now, and hopefully AJ Pollock is still there for me. All right, let's see what happened. I'm back on the clock. VR was taken, and it penciled in Murphy at first base. So I'm going to go ahead and move him to second now. Will Myers was taken. He was someone I was considering. Segura. So I need a third baseman now. And there's a couple other second basemen I would have loved to have. Robinson Cano, Rougned Odor. After that, Brian Dozier isn't so bad, but he kills your batting average. At third base, I've got Turner, Donaldson, Max Muncy, Devers wouldn't be bad, Miguel Sano. I'm going to go ahead and pull my batting average quite a bit more and get Justin Turner now because there's no one else that I especially love at this stage. Let me see when. Josh Hader's probably going to be there for me next pick. If he's not, I'll bet one of these other elite guys are. Sean Doolittle, Kirby Yates, Corey Knebel. And I'll explain when we get there why I want one of those guys and how it helps with the Marmol strategy. So Justin Turner, it is for me. And I've got by far the best batting average in the league. Tons of power. And I'm about to turn my attention to starting pitcher. But first, Justin, you've got two more picks. Who are you going with?
Ooh, I right now if you look at the projections, I've got the most stolen bases. I have the highest average. I'm doing okay in most of the pitching categories, but where I'm really lagging is in power. And when you build up a good average floor like this, you can afford to take a gamble on a guy like Joey Gallo, who's going to give you a ton of power.
Love it.
You can still play first and in the outfield. So I'm going to take Joey Gallo and watch my average plummet all the way to eighth.
Yeah, it's going to plummet quite a bit. You are now at 279, which is still pretty high. Now, you're looking at the show team averages, which has you averaging second for stolen bases. I'm looking at totals right now. I'm sitting at 107 stolen bases, 283 batting average. So I'm pretty pumped about my lineup. First, though, you've got another pick here. So who are you going to pair with Joey Gallo?
Well, now I feel like I need to make up for that average. I just gave up. Kind of looking around, not really seeing anybody that is jumping out of me hitters-wise. So I'm just going to kind of go over the pitchers and see if maybe I can add anybody there that I like. I'm just going to go ahead and grab another closer, I guess. And, Brad Hand is a good option. Sean Doolittle is a good option. I'm not afraid of Wade Davis, but I think I'd prefer... I'm going to take Brad Hand right here. So, and really kind of shore up my relief pitching. In these 12 team leagues, you need at least three closers to compete. So,
yeah. Brad Hand right now, I'm comparing his stats to Sean Doolittle. He's probably a safer bet for saves than Doolittle.
Doolittle's got elite skills, but injury history. And that's the scary part.
Hand's going to strike out a lot more guys. The ratios are going to be better for Doolittle. He's probably going to have the best whip in baseball once again. He's not a bad pick whatsoever. Now, I did want to point something out that I noticed, and I have not seen this before. Eloy Jimenez, I was looking at the top batting average guys. You can go to that on Draft Wizard by clicking on Zeal Projections, and Zeal is just our consensus projection, so it brings them all together and tells you, what the industry as a whole thinks about these players. Eloy Jimenez is at 289 projected batting average. Vlad Jr. is so good that I think a lot of times we forget just how special of a rookie Eloy Jimenez is probably going to be.
I was super disappointed that he got sniped in the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational. I had them all queued up. I was ready. And then Kong Do from Baseball 365 totally sniped him from me. Very, very upsetting. And I texted him and was not kind.
I'm going to go ahead and Sean Doolittle's still on the board for me. And it is my pick. But the thing is, the Marmol strategy is all about those ratios, and Josh Hader is going to help me with that the most. I'll get my saves later, because here's the thing. We've got to draft, 6 relief pitchers. I'm also going to fill in some starting pitchers there with actual relievers. I'm going to get my saves eventually, but I want to get the best pure reliever, and that's Josh Hader. So it is back to me now, and let's see who's on the board. Kirby Yates is still there. That's an elite closer. At least I believe so. I think they're going to win quite a few more games in San Diego. He's going to really help with the ratios. I could use a first baseman and some utility guys. I really like Otani here. I've got to pull the trigger. Otani's my guy. Now, I'm looking at pick predictor, and it says there's a 38% chance he's going to be picked before my next turn. I don't want to take a chance. I'm not playing that game. I'm going to go ahead and grab Otani now and get a couple more relievers here in the future.
I like that. Question is, where do I go from here? I don't even know.
I'm going to pull up the roster watch here and see what spots you could use in your lineup. Catcher, second, short, third. If you want to get a non-horrible catcher, now is probably the time to turn to a Wilson Ramos or Yadi Molina type of guy.
Yeah, and I'm looking. Let's see what third basemen are available. Ooh, Mike Moustak is just going too low. Getting to play back in Milwaukee is going to be great for him. If he adds second base eligibility, I don't know if they'll keep him at second base. That's going to be really, really nice, because second base isn't a deep position either. So I like Mike Moustakas. He's, you know, power, and he's not going to hurt your average like some other power guys will.
Man, that's a really quality pick. Over under 35 homers for him now that he's in Milwaukee.
Ooh, I'm going to say under, but just barely. I think he's like a 32 kind of guy.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. You're right about catcher. Catcher gets ugly really, really quickly. There's only about, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 guys.
There's 8 guys I'd feel okay with.
Well, like the NFBC, the difference between the 8th spot and the 9th spot is almost 100 picks. So like if you're in a 2-catcher format, do not wait on catcher. I took Gary Sanchez in the Invitational. I'm going to wait a little bit here because it's a 1-catcher format. It's only 12 teams.
I just looked 2 rounds out. I mean, you've still got a lot of catchers. I thought it was probably down to Ramos, Posey, and Molina. There is a very good chance that Molina or Ramos or Posey is going to be there when you pick in 20 or so picks.
One of my favorite guys, talking about young guys who are underrated because of the Vlad Juniors of the world, Victor Robles. Victor Robles is going to be fantastic this year. I don't even really need the speed, but I just love the player, and I have no problem throwing him in my lineup.
Yeah, Victor Robles, same kind of thing. We're projecting him already for a dozen homers, 26 stolen bases, .271 batting average. And I'll tell you, a lot of these projection systems, they're looking at Robles and conservatively estimating his at-bats and just saying, you know, rookies don't always tend to play as many at-bats as we're expecting. Now, with Robles, I don't think that there's going to be any competition whatsoever for him to be in the lineup every single day. Now, he's had some injury problems in the past. We'll see if that continues. But if this guy's in the lineup every day, we're not talking about 12 and 26, Justin. We're talking about 17, 18, and maybe 40 steals with a quality batting average.
And just because Harper's gone doesn't mean that lineup's not going to be really good.
Yeah.
So it just, I think people are underrating how good that Nationals offense is still going to be.
I cannot believe both of those second basemen, Robinson Cano and Rougned Odor, are still there. Oh, man, I would love to have one of those guys right now. I guess I could, because I could move Daniel Murphy to first base, but that seems like kind of a waste. When essentially, if you look at Robinson Cano and Eric Hosmer, who's the best first baseman available, let's compare the two. Oh, consensus projections have Cano in all 4 categories, so I might have to go that direction or wait for Miguel Cabrera and just start piling up the saves. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do that with Kirby Yates still available. I'm going to grab him, and hopefully I can get Corey Knebel or Jose Leclerc next round. All right, let's see what happens here. All the catchers are going. You nervous?
No, I'm not nervous. I mean, if for some reason I miss out on all the ones I like, then I'll just punt it, and I'll take the 12th catcher off the board with my last pick. So someone pops in the shallower formats. You can kind of get away with that.
All right, Corey Knebel is still there for me. I'm trying to look, though, because I need a first baseman. So I either need to take a first or second baseman to make that happen. I really like Lourdes Gurriel Jr. later. I could grab him, or for my first baseman, Miguel Sano qualifies. Great power upside. Miguel Cabrera is probably going to be gone, Ryan Braun, but I'll bet one of these guys in this range drops. So I'm going to go ahead and grab another closer before I feel like there's a big old drop off, and it's Corey Knebel for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Nice. I like Knebel. He's a guy I'm actually debating with my next pick in TGFBI. I know he lost the closer job last year, but I believe that if he's right, he's the closer, and that's going to be a really good team.
Yeah, and especially because Josh Hader can stretch it out, so why not keep him in that 6th, 7th inning role?
Yeah, I don't think they want Hader closing. They want Hader coming in at the most, you know, valuable time to use him. So, ooh, well, I think now's the time to take that catcher. I like getting a catcher with some power potential, especially because I think my team still could use a little bit of power even with Gallo in the lineup. Double check my strengths and weaknesses. And yeah, I need a little bit of power. So the question becomes, do I take a guy like Wilson Ramos, who I have a ton of shares of? And the nice thing about him is his batting average floor is a little bit safer than Yasmani Grandal. Grandal's got more power. I really like that park. I'm gonna take Grandal here and be pretty stoked with the way my offense is kind of coming together.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with one of these two at this stage in the draft. I'm going to pull up your roster really quick while you're making your next pick and just read it off to everyone. You've got Grandal, Whit Merrifield, who you've still got penciled in at first base if you want to change that.
I moved him over to second. I put Gallo.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Mike Moustakas, Mookie Betts, Yasiel Puig, Joey Gallo, Joey Votto, Victor Robles. That lineup is pretty awesome. And then in the rotation, you've got Verlander and Buehler, relief pitchers, Treinen and Brad Hand. Your lineup's looking good, man.
Yeah, the offense is good. Still got a little ways to go in terms of pitching, but having the two studs at the top of the rotation really helps. I'm going to take my shortstop here, and shortstop's really deep this year. It's probably the deepest it's ever been, and this is going to be a pick that the computers aren't going to like, but Paul DeJong is a stud, and I have made comments about why would you spend a high pick on Carlos Correa when you can get 80% of the production from Paul DeJong. Just look at the projection systems for both those guys. It's not that different.
Was that you that tweeted that out? Because I was trying to remember on the podcast the other day, I mentioned that same exact stat and just said, man, I don't remember who said this, but I wish I could give them credit. Was that you, Justin?
No, it was Batflip Crazy. Toby tweeted it out, but I think he was saying it in reference to what I had said on the sleeper and the bust, which was pretty much that. It's like, why take Correa when you can get DeJong 100 picks later?
Yeah, DeJong is a fantastic pick. I actually pulled him up right when you said you were taking a shortstop because that's who I would have taken. Now, I love Andrus as well, but Paul DeJong, if you're waiting at shortstop, you can grab him, Jorge Polanco. I think both those guys are super safe. So it's back to me here. Still haven't taken a starting pitcher. Still not going to take a starting pitcher. I've got only three relief pitchers, so I'm going to take a look here. It looks like Will Smith, Jose Alvarado, Dellin Betances should all still be there. Now, if this was a normal draft, I'd be taking Tyler Glass now, right now. No doubt about it. Or Ross Stripling. Justin, what do you think about Ross Stripling now that Clayton Kershaw is struggling with his shoulder issues?
Love Ross Stripling. One of the guys at Fantasy Pros sent me a message. I'm blanking on his name right now. And he told me that he just wrote an article for you guys about Ross Stripling because of where I took him in TGFBI. I set the kind of the min pick on him at like 168, I believe it was. With Kershaw hurt, Stripling's gonna pitch.
Yeah, Stripling was absolutely phenomenal last year. Top five in XFIP of guys with at least 100 innings pitched. He was just absolutely amazing. So, Justin, I went ahead and grabbed Eric Hosmer. I don't especially love having Eric Hosmer on my team, but, you know, pick 140? Sure. Yeah, I'll take a 280 batting average with 20 homers.
Yeah, I'm not an Eric Hosmer guy. Nothing strikes me. He's kind of a compiler, and having Machado in that lineup is going to help that. But I tend to want to get guys who've got at least one, you know, plus skill.
Yeah. What do you think about, would you have taken Miguel Cabrera over him or waited for another first baseman if you were my spot?
I mean, if I really needed the average, because, I mean, Miggy is going to hit for average. It depends on how many plate appearances he's going to get. I'd almost wait on like a Justin Smoke. Like Justin Smoke's going way too low. He's a guy who's probably going to deliver you 30 home runs. Average won't be great, but it's not going to kill you in this day and age. I just worry that Miggy's not going to be healthy.
Yeah, I'm worried about that as well. When he is healthy, though, I mentioned this on the show last podcast, that whenever Miguel Cabrera has been healthy, every single season he has received an MVP vote, including the partial seasons that he's had. Like, when he was a rookie, he was just absolutely amazing. And we'll hope for help for Miguel Cabrera. But yeah, I pulled the trigger on Hosmer because he's just kind of that durable guy that you can rely on. Now I'm going to go ahead and grab another relief pitcher here because I've got my entire lineup filled out. The best one on the board for me is Andrew Miller. I don't think he's probably going to get saves like our consensus projections have him for, but I do think he's the best relief pitcher that helps with Marmol because I'm going for those ratios. Like I said, I will pile up the saves eventually because I'm going to be adding, let's see, 6-8 relief pitchers that I'm going to be playing every single day.
That is, it's an interesting strategy. I'd like to see how it turns out at kind of at the end. And I applaud it. I've
used it every year in pretty much every league, and it's kind of a cheat code.
I like that. It's that's a fun one. I'm gonna take a starter because I'm not doing that, and I need wins and strikeouts. And both of my boys are still on the board, so I'm just gonna double tap starting pitcher right here and grab Andrew Heaney first, and then. Oh, actually, you know what? I'm going to grab Nick Pivetta first because he's higher in the ranks. And
the other guy will probably still be there for you. Who is it, by the way? I'm not going to take him.
Nick Pivetta and Andrew Heaney are the two. Pivetta is just got to figure out how to keep the ball in the yard. If he does, he could turn into a stud. Andrew Heaney looked really, really good coming off of Tommy John last year. He tired in the second half. That's kind of expected considering he was a huge workload coming off of TJ. I think he's going to be fine. People forget he's a former top prospect.
He went from 21 innings to 180 after having Tommy John.
Yeah, and he didn't sacrifice his command, which a lot of Tommy John returnees do. And so I think Andrew Heaney is a top 30 pitcher this year.
Whew. All right. I've not heard anyone talk up Andrew Heaney, but I have no problem with it whatsoever. If I'm at this stage in the draft and I need pitchers, I'm usually turning to Tyler Glass now. It was Josh James, but yeah, Heaney is absolutely on my radar as somebody that I love at this stage. Now, I am going to get some bench hitters because, I mean, you've got to have some. It's not like I'm going to fill up my bench with relief pitchers that I'm not going to use when I'm starting relief pitchers all day. So let's turn on over here and look and see if there's anyone that I need to go get now. Polanco's still there. He'll probably be there for a while. Miguel Cabrera's still on the board. I'm not going to wait on that. I mean, if I don't pick him now, I'll probably get Will Smith, Alvarado, or Archie Bradley. So let's wait and see which one's still on the board. I'm going to go get Miguel Cabrera.
I think that's a good pick. I mean, this late, it's worth the upside that he can put a full season on the field.
Alvarado gone. Archie Bradley gone. I don't remember who my other one was. Let's see if he's there. I think it was Will Smith. There we go. Will Smith is still on the board. I like Betances too, though. But I've waited a little bit long on saves, so I'm going to go ahead and get Smith. Hopefully Betances is there for me next time around.
What do you think the chances are that Will Smith is in a closer role midseason? Because that's my big fear about Will Smith is Giants. I mean, unless these rumors are true and they're going to sign Harper, you got to think they're going to try to get rid of some of these veterans. Will Smith is probably one of the more attractive ones.
Ah, that's an interesting call. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at him, and he's not especially durable. Last year, he was really good. With that said, he's also a lefty, and if he gets traded to a team, he's not going to be the closer. He's going to be the lefty setup man, and a very good one at that. Everyone else is at this stage in the draft, though. I don't know if I can trust them to be the closer at midseason. Vizcaino's competing with Minter. Hicks is competing with Miller, maybe with Carlos Martinez, maybe even with my sleeper, Giovanni Gallegos, who's an absolute stud. Michael Givens, he's there. We'll see what happens in Baltimore. They're going to win like two games anyway. So I'm going to go ahead and pull the trigger on Smith and hopefully I can get Betances here in a little bit.
Yeah, you can't get saves if you don't get wins.
So yes. <that's>,
sorry to all you Orioles fans out there.
They know it. At least they get the number one pick.
Exactly. So I don't even know where to go at this point. So looking at my team, I still need some pitchers. Wouldn't mind grabbing some guys who can get me some saves and kind of boost up my ratios a little bit. But I'm not really in love with any pitchers, so I'm just going to go back to the hitters and maybe fill my last UT spot and kind of just see what's there, if anybody kind of strikes me as a guy that I really love having on my team or has some upside. Not really seeing anybody there either. So
if you needed stolen bases, Billy Hamilton would be sweet in this spot, but I think you're good there. What about Byron Buxton? He's available. What do you think about what he's doing right now?
I think what he's doing right now is tricking everybody to buying back in. And
I'm falling for it, man. Again.
Everybody is. Someone took him in like the top 100 in TGFBI, and I'm not going to be that guy because I fell for it last year. I'm going to take Austin Meadows, another one of these young guys that's kind of overshadowed by the Acuñas of the world. Austin Meadows could pop this year, should get full-time playing time in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, he's a good bet for 15-15, solid batting averages as well. And I would say even a better bet than that because right now his projections, I would imagine, are at 400, 450 plate appearances. He's going to play every day unless he gets injured.
Oh, it's back to me. I was all like, oh, no, it's your pick now. So this time I think I still need a little bit of help in wins and Ks. So just go over to the projections and, you know, pull up pitchers and kind of see who's around still.
You could get Heaney's teammate, Tyler Skaggs.
I do like Tyler Skaggs. I also like my boy, Kyle Gibson.
I forgot about Kyle Gibson.
I think I can get Gibson a little bit later. Not really a ton of guys in terms of saves available. So, you know what? Skaggs is not a bad dude. But I think I'm just going to go with my guy, Kyle Gibson. He's my guy. He's the gardener. He ends up on every single one of my teams, no matter what. Projections hate him for some reason. I don't get it. But I'll take Kyle Gibson.
Yeah, I think you've got to at some point just say, this is my dude, I'm putting my foot down. And I remember when Paul Spohr, your co-host, had Kyle Gibson as his profile picture for a while. That was beautiful.
Yes, it was pretty amazing. And so someone made a little video of like MLB The Show, Kyle Gibson running onto the field with all the tweets kind of superimposed into the video. And it was pretty awesome.
Hey, Justin, so every time that Paul comes on, I mention how he looks like Christian Yelich, just so all my listeners can get a visual, like, hey, Christian Yelich is the one that's talking to me. Now, for those who can't see this on YouTube or, you know, just prefer to listen to it instead, who do you look the most like? Is it Gabe Kapler, probably?
Oh, I've never heard that one. That's not a bad one. I get a lot of Zach Galifianakis, which is, I feel, very unfortunate. And a bit harsh, but I get kind of like Zach Galifianakis from The Hangover because I've got the beard and I'm a little bit on the stouter side.
I was thinking Gabe Kapler because of the muscles. I mean,
I appreciate that. That's
underneath the beard, there's surely lots of muscles going on there.
Hey, I used to be a power lifter back in my youth.
Really? Awesome.
Well, I am blessed with extremely short arms, so it doesn't have to go very far.
Okay. So Dellin Betances is still available for me. I got kind of lucky there because I risked it. And so I've now filled out 6 relief pitcher spots. Now I need 2 others. And what I'm going to do here, since they're both starting pitchers, I'm going to grab guys who are starting pitcher eligible. Diego Castillo and Seth Lugo, I would imagine you're not going to take them. No one else is going to. So I'm going to wait until the end and grab those guys. And maybe a high upside starting pitcher at some point. My first starting pitcher. And I'm not going to use him. I'm just going to let him dominate and then I'll trade him. So Ross Stripling, Alex Reyes, maybe Freddy Peralta. But I do need a couple more offensive players. And I don't want to wait too long on that. I'm going to go ahead and get my backup middle infielder now that I can use at shortstop and second base. Oh, actually, Jorge Polanco only qualifies at short, but I can move Mondesi to second. So I'm going to go ahead and grab Jorge Polanco right now. And then it is you for 2, Justin.
I do love Castillo this year, and he's a guy I'm getting a lot of my draft and holds. I think if something happens to Alvarado, he could be a sneaky source of saves. So, but I'm going to let you kind of take him and kind of keep going with your strategy because he wasn't necessarily on my board. But I'm not letting you get my guy, Ross Stripling. Ross Stripling is my boy.
I don't have room for Alvarado, so you can have him too.
Well, I think Alvarado's already gone. But Stripling, the projections don't love him right now because they haven't adjusted to the fact that Kershaw's probably going to miss at least the beginning of the season. And you know Dodger pitchers are going to get injured or they're going to play games and put him on the injured list this year. So Stripling is going to get plenty of innings to kind of repeat what he did last year. Really buy him. I'm just going to go and get my other guy, Jimmy Nelson, Jimmy Nelson has been my dude for a very long time. Anybody who listened to the kind of the origins of my show on Friends of Fantasy Benefits knows how much I've always loved Jimmy Nelson. I, you know, got burnt by him last year because he never came back, and I waited and waited and waited. This year he's going to be back. I love that he is going to kind of be the face of that rotation in Milwaukee. So Jimmy Nelson going on the team as well.
All right, I'm looking at my team right now. I love Jimmy Nelson as well. He's definitely someone I would consider at that spot. I need my batting average is fine, so I'm going to go get a power speed guy. I think Buxton is still available. I've been drafting him every year for like 20 years now, so he's age 25. I've been drafting since he's 5. That sounds about right. Buxton's still there, so I got to pull the trigger. Now let's see how much this hurts my batting average. Might have to pull it up a little later. 277. Not too high above that 274 mark.
Yeah, it's still on the top of the league, though, so you're doing all right.
Yeah, all right. In stolen bases, I just got passed up by Team 9, those jerks. So let's see here. Ooh, Alex Reyes is still there. You know what? Alex Reyes is my boy. Gotta grab him. He looks, apparently, he's ahead of schedule. It's the best case scenario with his recovery at this point. So I'll grab Alex Reyes now and hopefully trade him later because I have no use for him in this strategy. Or maybe, you know, he goes to the bullpen and he just turns into Josh Hader all over again.
He could turn into what Carlos Martinez was when he made his debut, which was a dominant closer. So though I think with Martinez being injured, he could end up back as a closer and you could see Reyes back into the starting rotation, then, you know, you trade him to me. We'll work out some sort of deal.
Great, that sounds good. We'll make a deal. Carlos Martinez is in a sling, by the way.
Yeah, that's scary. I was a big Carlos Martinez guy coming into this year, and I'm completely backing away, which is unfortunate, because like I said, I really, really liked him. I don't know what I'm going to do here. I need a little bit of help in virtually all of my offensive categories outside of stolen bases. Brandon Nimmo is an interesting guy, but I think he may platoon a little bit too much. I just said I don't need help in stolen bases, but I'm just going to go on brand and grab Garrett Hampson.
Do you think he's going to play?
You know what? I don't know how much I trust the Rockies. It just seems so rocky of them to play Mark Reynolds at first and move Daniel Murphy back over to second. But so far, it seems like he's going to play. And with that being the case, this dude could steal 40 bases and hit 280, 290 in Colorado. And I just think he's such an interesting guy that I just want some pieces.
He's DJ LeMahieu minus the glove, maybe a little bit of extra power, a little lighter on the batting average, but he's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really, really like Garrett Hampson. I've got a ton of shares. A guy who just feels underrated. And I think people are just, the down year happened and people aren't willing to believe that he's going to kind of progress back to where he was the previous season is Josh Bell. I think on my TGFBI podcast, I was talking with Ariel Cohen and he said he is the most discounted person from projections to ADP. So he is just being completely overlooked. Love Josh Bell as a guy who can, you know, give average and should get some of that power back this year.
Yeah, I was going to grab Josh Bell, so I definitely agree with you. Let's see, I've got a backup middle infielder in Jorge Polanco, backup corner guy in Miguel Cabrera, backup outfielder in Byron Buxton. I'd like to get one or two more offensive players. With that said, let me take a look really quick at the relief pitchers that I want to get who also qualify as starters. They are nowhere near being drafted right now, except for Trevor May, who I forgot qualifies at starting pitcher. So I'm going to go ahead and grab him now.
Well, that would have been my next pick. So I
oh, would? Good, good. I'm very glad I took him.
I definitely like that pick because I think Trevor May is going to win out in that closing role in Minnesota.
It's no guarantee, but he is a stud. He should win it.
Yeah, he's and I've been a May guy for a long time, so I'm just hoping he can. I'm going to have a lot of shares this year.
Second half last year, he was one of the 5 most dominant relief pitchers in baseball, and he didn't play in the first half. So, you know, we saw a guy who had an elite whip. I believe it was under 0.9. He had 35-37% K rate, which is right up there with Edwin Diaz and a couple other guys like that. So Trevor May, if he's the closer and can save 30-35 games, we're looking at a potential top 5 closer there. And in some leagues, I believe in this one, he'll qualify at starting pitcher, so you can just slot him right in there in these 2 starting pitcher leagues. And even if you're not doing the Marmol strategy, I think it makes sense to do that. As many of these relief pitchers you can get in your lineup as possible every single day, it's going to help your ratios. And that's only if you don't need them for a starting pitcher, because a lot of times you just don't. So I say grab those guys.
There's nothing more valuable in leagues that distinguish between starter and reliever than those relievers that can get starting.
That's right.
It just becomes so valuable.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and grab another offensive player. Actually, I'm running out of time, and I don't know who I want, so I'm just going to go ahead and grab Diego Castillo right now, and I'll put him at starting pitcher, because there's not too much of a difference in the offensive guys at this point. They'll probably, most of them, still be available to me next round. So it is to you for two more picks, and then I've got two to close out my draft.
Like I said, I like that Castillo pick. I really think he is going to he's kind of the next man up if they need saves. Alvarado was great last year, so I think he's got the job locked down as long as he's healthy, but you never know what can happen, and the Rays also like to mess around with things. Whew, let's see. I mean, I could go a lot of different directions here. I think I'm going to start with Tyler Skaggs. We talked about him a little bit earlier. I love the skills. He's just got to stay on the field. If he's healthy, which he is right now, he has the potential to be a top 40, top 30 starter. Being a lefty kind of helps with that new kind of lowered wall in Anaheim. So that'll kind of take a little bit off of that. Now, I want one more closer.
I can't believe Skaggs was still available.
I was surprised he was there too. So I'm not gonna you know, kick the gift horse in the mouth and kind of pass on him again. So I want one more offensive player and one more pitcher. I'm gonna have to wait a little while for my next pick. So I think I'm gonna go closer here. And Hunter Strickland is the closer in Seattle, or at least it appears he's gonna be the closer in Seattle. As long as he doesn't punch any walls, he could be really good. I think people are kind of discounting him. He can strike people out. Seattle's team's not going to be great, but it's not going to be Baltimore awful.
That whip is a little bit scary to me, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, saves are saves. And at this point in the game, you've got him, Steckenrider, Boxberger, maybe Blake Parker, Shane Green. It's ugly.
Problem is, all those guys have competition.
Yep.
There is no competition for Strickland. So I'm going to take Strickland, take the easy saves right there, and just hope that he doesn't put his hand through any walls.
Yes, it is back to me. I'm going to go ahead and grab some stolen bases that don't kill my batting average for a guy who plays all over the diamond, second, third, short, outfield, Joe Wendell.
There you go. I like that.
All right, and back to me for my last pick. Wow, I got behind on runs and RB and home runs pretty quickly. I'm going to go ahead and take Matt Kemp. I want him in a lot of my leagues as a depth guy, so I'm going to go ahead and grab him, and I will... No, you know what? Let me just double check really quick. I've got a minute here because I really need someone that is going to be on the field quite a bit more. I don't know. Maybe Kemp will be healthy this season, but Brandon Belt is still available. That wouldn't be so bad. Zach Cozart if I need another middle infielder. Evan Longoria is still there. Wow, how about that? Yeah, that's the guy I'm going to go with over Matt Kemp. All right, and that is my final pick. My draft grade is going to come up and your draft grade right after you make this last one. So, Justin, who are you going with?
This is a I have no idea kind of pick. Oh, actually, I already have like three first basemen.
But there's two utility spots, so I think you can swing another one.
Yeah, I like to have a little bit more flexibility. So I definitely want to go with someone who maybe plays a different position, maybe the outfield. I'm trying to get some power here or maybe some runs to kind of make up a little bit of my weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, who is the guy that isn't going to tank another category for me?
Cedric Mullins.
I love Cedric Mullins, and that's the guy I was looking at. He's going to lead off in Baltimore. Baltimore is a place that can hit a lot of power. You know what? I'm doing it. Cedric Mullins is the guy.
He was really good in the minor leagues last year, and he's not some big prospect, so a lot of people don't realize that. But, you know, he's going to get 15 homers, 15 steals. Batting average won't kill you at this stage in the draft, so plenty of runs leading off. Even in Baltimore, they're going to score some runs. So I don't think that's a bad pick. Now, Justin, what is your draft grade?
It's a C-, which I do not appreciate.
That happens when you go get your guys sometimes.
Yeah, no, and don't get me wrong. You don't want to finish towards the bottom of projections like I did in this one. Your Marmol strategy, though, man. I don't know how you did it, but they've got you first.
A 99 A+. I've got to tell you, Justin, I've done at least 120 mock drafts so far this year. Because, you know, I do them for a lot of articles, and also to get rid of, to get ready for my big drafts and everything like that. I do one from every potential spot I could be picking. But the Marmol strategy, every time I've done it, I've gotten A+, because it is just a cheat code. So I'm going to look at include all drafted players, show team totals. And I got third in runs, not exactly where I wanted to finish. First in homers, first in RBI, second in steals, first in average. So all five offensive categories. And that's what you get when you draft. First 10 players are offensive. And then first in ERA, first in whip, of course, because all I'm doing is relievers. First in saves, because I've got five, six of them. And then dead last in wins and Ks. And it is not even close either. So, Justin, where were your strong spots?
Let's see. Details by category. Did well in stolen bases and oddly enough, whip. But I was too middle of the pack and kind of lower on the end of the offense.
Second in Ks, fourth in wins.
Yeah, so not...
ERA's not so bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, not too bad.
I'm looking at the final draft board. Actually, I'm going to pull up team roster so we can go position by position. I'm going to read yours, Justin. Yasmani Grandal at catcher, Josh Bell at first, and I love that pick. Whit Merrifield, Paul DeYoung. That looks like a team that I would draft, frankly. Mike Moustakas, Mookie Betts, Yasiel Puig, Joey Gallo, Joey Votto, Victor Robles. That offense is awesome. I don't know why it's ranked so low. And then we get to your bench for the offensive guys. Austin Meadows, Garrett Hampson, Cedric Mullins. Again, very good picks all around. A little bit of risk according to the projections with these guys that we're not sure if they're going to play. Garrett Hampson, Austin Meadows. But I don't think that there's any question in my mind that those guys are going to be solid for you. And then your rotation, you started off awesome with Justin Verlander, Walker Buehler, Nick Pivetta, Andrew Heaney, Tyler Skaggs, Ross Stripling. If you're going to wait on starting pitchers, that foursome there, Pivetta, Heaney, Skaggs, Stripling, it's about as good as you're going to get. And then Jimmy Nelson to round it out. And Kyle Gibson, I forgot to mention him.
The Gardner. You got to mention him. They're not going to like my team construction, and I get that, the projections. But I'm also banking on upside, and I'm banking on it's a 12-person league, and so there's going to be guys who come off the waiver wire that if Nelson doesn't return to form because he had a year off and he's coming off shoulder surgery.
Then you just go pick up Matt Strom.
Yeah, Matt Strom's a great name. Oh, I love Matt Strom. There's a lot. If this was a 15-team league, I can understand, them not liking the chances that I took. But in a 12-team league, there's so much replacement value. I'm not worried about it.
You know, the whole idea that you draft upside, knowing that if the upside fails, you drop it and you just pick up replacement-level value, I'm 100% on board with that. That's typically what I do as well. Now, with the Marmol strategy, you go in with this plan in place, and even though you've got some great options, just staring in the face, you got to pass them up and stay true to the strategy. So I'm going to show you guys how the Marmol looks in person. JT Realmuto, you guys are going to love this lineup. Daniel Murphy, Mondesi, Jorge Polanco, Justin Turner, JD Martinez, Giancarlo Stanton, Starling Marte, Nelson Cruz, Eric Hosmer. That's a lot of power there. And then the pitching, it is going to look horrible. And if this was a points league, oh, I guarantee you I would be dead last and not even close. Like, the difference between 1st and 11th would have been closer than the difference between 11th and 12th. But for a head-to-head league, I'm guaranteeing that I've got, a very dominant team in 8 categories. I like my chances, especially when I get to the playoffs. So I got Alex Reyes, Diego Castillo, Trevor May, who can all slot in at starting pitcher, Josh Hader, Kirby Yates, Corey Knebel, Andrew Miller, Will Smith, Dellin Betances. So I've got, 5 closers there, maybe 4 of them. And then on the bench, Miguel Cabrera, Otani, Byron Buxton, Evan Longoria, Joe Wendell, and Trevor May, as I mentioned. So that's my team.
Yeah, I think it's, especially if you don't have any sort of innings requirement, you're gonna have a team that's super competitive and can really kind of take it. I love punting. I'm a big punt batting average kind of guy.
I just posted an article about that. I called it Pocket Rockets, where you draft starting pitchers early, and then you can get home runs, runs, RBIs super late if you don't care about batting average.
Yeah, it's one of the things that Tristan Cockcroft has done on numerous occasions to win some of the big industry leagues. There's a lot of fluctuation in batting average, and year to year, it's really hard to predict what a guy can do. I mean, not everybody's Chris Davis, so yeah. Not everybody's going to give you the exact same batting average every year.
You mean Chris Davis with a K, not Chris Davis with a C.
Not the Baltimore one who's going to give you an awful batting average no matter what he does. But most guys, one of the guys I like to point out is Mike Moustakas, who I took. you know, his batting average has been all over the place over the course of his career. So, like, if you're going to try to predict it, what are you going to put down?
Even Mookie Betts, yeah, guys like that.
Why? So don't worry about it. Hope you pop a good one. And then if you need to make up for it in season, you either trade or you get guys off the waiver wire. Don't worry too much about it.
And I'm glad you brought up the league settings, because that's what all this is about, is you don't really want to be that guy who wins by essentially cheating. You're exploiting the league settings. But you know what? If you don't do it, somebody else is going to. Fantasy baseball has some weaknesses in the sense that, you know, a lot of these standard leagues allow for something like this. If you've got an innings minimum, my team would lose every week because I couldn't win ERA and WHIP. But if your league allows for it, yeah, just go win. It's right there for you. Just do it. And I guarantee next year they will change the rules, and then you can go with Pocket Rockets.
I did that in Tout Head Dad last year. Now,
yeah,
I didn't end up winning, but it's not because of the strategy I took. It was just because of, unfortunately, the players that I ended up with. But it was the correct strategy. It was a points league, and I spent, I think, 85% of my budget on starting pitching.
Wow.
The entire rest of the league, nobody spent more than 45% of their budget on starting pitching. And so, like, I walked away with a team that should have been dominant had I not had Kershaw and Samardzija and Cueto and Robbie Ray. And I, at one point, I had 17 guys of my original starting 23 on the DL at one time. It was just a
That is so stupid.
But even with that, I still finished in like third or fourth in the league.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So in spite of the fact that I lost virtually my entire team at one point, and virtually throughout the entire season, that strategy worked. So it's process over results. And it's not cheating. You keep saying it's cheating.
It feels like cheating.
It's playing by the rules. At the end of the day, fantasy is a game, and you need to figure out how you beat the game and how you win the game. And if other people aren't going to kind of get unconventional to try to win the game, and you see a way to kind of give yourself better odds, that's what you should be doing. There's nothing ethically wrong about doing it. If people want to switch the rules because of it, well, then you're going to figure out a different way to win the game if you're smart.
So that's exactly right.
Don't be afraid to go against the grain.
All right, Justin, that's all for today's show. Really appreciate you taking the time to come on. As always, it's a blast to talk to you, and thanks again for putting on TGFBI.
Hey, anytime. It's always fun to come on.
All right, guys, and we've got another show coming out later this week and two more in the future, so make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future shows. For Justin Mason, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your baseball.